the talent that's here and the talent that is continuing to develop here. We obviously have some mainstay guys like Ian Happ.
Ian Happ, Cubs all-star outfielder.
Pitch to Ian, fly ball, left center field and deep. That ball is gone! It's a home run for Ian Happ, and this ball game is tied at 5.
Swing and a high fly ball, ripped right field, on its way, out of here! Home run, Ian Happ!
Gold Glove Award winner.
Wilmer Flores, the batter, drives it to left center, might be trouble, Happ on the run. Dives, makes a sensational catch. Beautiful catch by Ian Happ.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
We've played 130-some games already. It's crazy.
You played 130 games in 142 days, basically.
It's bananas.
Connect Roasters coffee enthusiast.
Here's a man that probably has 5 fresh pots a day.
Ian Happ on 670 The Score.
We toast you, Ian Happ.
We do toast Ian Happ. It is with coffee right now. Hope you got your Connect Roasters ready. This is Raheem Ann Harris on 670 The Score, and we are happy to go out to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. That is where we bring in our outfielder in residence, Ian Happ, co-host the Compound Podcast, which is now a part of Odyssey Sports. New episodes, as you heard, drop each Wednesday with the latest discussion on the Cubs and baseball. Download and listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Ian Happ, happy September to you.
Thank you very much. It's good to be in September.
Well, and I think that's where I want to start. How does it feel to be playing, you know, important September baseball? Good day at Wrigley, comeback win. You saw the team do a lot of things well. What is the feeling when you know that this is what is ahead of you?
Yeah, September baseball is a lot of fun. It always is, just kind of time of year, importance of games. Weather's pretty incredible in Chicago right now. So, you know, that atmosphere in the city is pretty special.
Ian, over your last 6 games, you know, I like to look at the stats and whatnot. Batting .440, that slug is up at .960, which would just be a good OPS altogether. 3 home runs. Do you feel locked in right now?
Yeah, I mean, the bats have been pretty good for a while. Been hitting the ball really hard and just having some really professional at bats. So I'm getting some results right now. Got a few balls to land. But yeah, the bats have been really good.
Well, and I think that a good example is what you were able to do in that at bat in the 4th inning that led to the home run. You know, you're down 0-2 in the count, and I feel like we saw a lot of 2-strike approaches that really paid off against the Braves yesterday. You, Carson Kelly, another one with his home run. You know, what did you think, just even in that mentality against Spencer Strider? He's not an easy guy to get to, especially when you're down 0-2 there.
Yeah, I think just a little kind of over-aggressive to a fastball early in the count there, and swung at a slider kind of down and in, or check swung at a slider down and in, and then just getting into that 2-strike approach and trying to really get something you can handle and not be afraid to foul something off. I feel like I did a good job of it in that at-bat, and then a good job in the Pierce Johnson at-bat of, you know, he's a 80% slider guy, and he threw me 3 straight fastballs, and just being able to fight something off into the outfield to have a chance to get on base before Carson hit that homer.
It's encouraging when you see it all come together in that way against the Braves. You know, when I get to talk to you about the 2-strike approach resulting in a home run, when the home runs add up to result in a 5-run comeback, we noticed that thanks to the marquee postgame show yesterday, Ian, that a 5-run comeback or even a 4-run comeback hadn't happened for this team since May against the Reds, that Memorial Day weekend. And then prior to that, that crazy Diamondbacks game back in April. You know, what do you think that says about the offense and just getting through the slogs of July and August to make it when you know you can put that together?
Yeah, I think like it's not easy in the big leagues to come back from 4 runs down, 5 runs down. Like it's really difficult. Every team has good back end arms. You know, Pierce coming into that game had maybe a .200, definitely a .300. It might have been a .200. And so just like getting to guys like that isn't easy. Guys have back end, and so to be able to tie that game up, to not have to face their closer there in the last 2 innings, was big. It's really challenging in this league to come back from those kind of deficits, and so you know, for the offense to be able to kind of stick together and do that. But it's not just the offense in that situation. Like what Savali was able to do, keeping that game at that spot and not giving up any more runs, not letting them build the lead at all. was huge and gave us a chance to do that. So can't say enough about his performance. But yeah, it's just, it's not easy and it takes a full group effort.
Looking at where you guys are now, it is September, as you said, good to be playing meaningful baseball. You guys have a 99.8% chance of making the playoffs, according to FanGraphs. But the division seems like it's still a possibility, being 5.5 games out, 5 games back in the loss column. How much are you targeting that right now as we get into this kind of mode where you will be looking at what other teams are doing with less than a month to play?
Yeah, you just... I'm going to throw some cliches at you, but you can't worry about what other teams are doing. Like, we have no control over Milwaukee at this point. You know, we've played all of our games against them. We've done what we could do against them. And so, you know, we have to go play our, however many games we got left. What do we got? 27, 26 games left, whatever it is. We got to go play those games. And we got to handle our business. And then, you know, whatever they do, it's up to them. So that's all we can control. And so can you watch a little bit the last couple of weeks, watch the scoreboard? Sure. But I mean, what we have to do is go take care of our remaining games and that's it. And so, you know, if it would be nice if we had 6 left with them coming down the stretch and control our own destiny a little bit, but we don't. So all we can do is tackle what's ahead of us.
I don't know if I should tell you this, but I just counted twice and my number is 24.
It is.
Yeah, that sounds right. We got a couple off days. We only play until like the 28th this year. You know, some years it's like you finish on October 1st or 2nd. Some years it's, I think it's like this year, it might be September 28th. So we don't have that many games in September this year.
Well, I always joke because in my limited experience traveling with a baseball team, I did realize you never know what day it is. Like, as a baseball player,
no
especially
idea.
This time of year. Like, how, do you have that same confirmation? Yeah, like, you never know what day of the week it is. Do you know what hotel room you're staying in ever? Like, I gave, like, a hotel room number one time 2 hotels ago, I think. Like, I have trouble with it.
Yeah, day of the week is tough. No idea what day of the week it is. Definitely don't know how many games we have left or what. You know, I know that we have 2 games left in the Braves series, and that's about it. We were actually joking. We got into Colorado at the end of that, you know, 10-game road trip. There was a number of guys who were on the wrong floors checking into their trying to get into their back in their hotel rooms, keying every room on the wrong floor. I got a call from a teammate because we walked up together and he's like, "Hey, what room are you in? What floor are we on?" I'm like, "We're on 13. He's like, "Well, I'm on 12. All right.
Well, it's good to know that they're still building hotels with 13 floors. That's a good thing. Ian, as we're joined by Ian Happ every week here, the Gold Glove outfielder from the Cubs here on Raheemy and Harris, I look at the transactions and there have been a lot of them in the last 48 hours or so. What do you know and what do you expect when you get a veteran like Carlos Santana on your team?
Yeah, I think it's cool. I have a lot of respect for Carlos as a switch hitter. He's one of small amount of switch hitters, 300 career homers, still doing it. And just a guy that I've gotten to watch, played against on different teams throughout the years, walks 100 times a year. I think he's the active all-time walks leader. So to be doing that and hitting home runs as a switch hitter, like, just a ton of respect for what he's been able to do throughout his career at a high level and the longevity. So I got to talk to him a little bit yesterday. I'm excited to keep picking his brain and talk to him about hitting, switch hitting, approach stuff, his routine and his work. He's a little bit familiar with John Bailey because John had him in Philly. And so just a cool veteran presence to bring in, to help out. And I think it gives us a little bit of flexibility, and some at bats late in games. And you saw it yesterday, you know, if we have to pinch hit for Bushy left on right, then you have a situation where later in the game, you know, Carlos pinch hits against the righty. So there's a little bit of flexibility late in the game when rosters expands, kind of what you're looking for. Just compliments and flexibility to the roster, and he provides that, which is great.
Well, and that said, we saw, of course, the path of Owen Casey get affected as well in all of this. You know, what was some of the advice you had to him, and how are those talks, you know, as a respected veteran in the clubhouse to a rookie in the outfield?
Yeah, Owen's going to be a big part of this organization for a long time. He's a really good player. He's got an impressive mentality for the game. Just watching his BP actually the other day, and it's really solid. It's professional. It's not too much. It's exactly like what you'd want to see from a young hitter, hitting line drives all over the field. Hits the ball really hard. You know, the way that the team's constructed this year, it's not going to be every day at bats for him, but he's going to get plenty of opportunities with this team, and he's going to be a big part of the future of the Cubs. And so he's going to be a really good player, and I think he's going to be a part of this group at some point again, maybe this year down the stretch. He's an impact guy, and he hits the ball really hard, and he has good at bats. So it won't be long before he's back with us, because he's that type of player.
I know, Ian, going back to the road trip, there's been moments that resonate with me. I loved when Nico Horner hit the 3-run homer in the loss to the Giants, the way he reacted to hitting the ball. And I loved when you hit the 3-run homer against Colorado. I was debating which one was more, yeah, I got that one. You're not really much of a bat flipper. What was going through your head when you hit that one?
Yeah, I got that one pretty good. And just that spot in the game, off the lefty, I hit it, and it was, you know, I got it pretty good and thought it was gone, but it was either a homer or a fly out. And so I was just walking with it and talking to it, wheeling it out of the yard.
I think you're a good person to ask about this. I know that the season series has concluded with Colorado, but people talk a lot about, of course, the home run launch pad aspect. But I think those who know will say the extra base hits is usually something that increases there. That's a massive outfield for you guys to have to patrol.
Yeah, it really is. It's a big outfield. There's a lot of space. And it's actually, you know, it's pretty interesting just when you get out there, just how much you have to talk to each other and how much you have to figure out where everybody is. And I thought we did a really good job defensively of running around out there and catching a bunch of balls. It also, as far as like park factors, you look at park factors and how the thing about Colorado that makes it so good, it's number one in triples, it's number two in doubles, and it's number one in singles, just as far as like hits. But it's actually eighth in homers. So there's still homers there, but there's other parks that are better for home runs than Coors. It's just all of the extra space for balls to get down and for hits to be out there. So it gives you a lot of confidence as a hitter and as an outfield, you know, just talking a lot about covering gaps and what we have to do to keep the balls in front of us and not give up those extra base hits. And, you know, having Pete run around the center helps that out a lot. But I thought we did a good job. It was actually an interesting stat just about like the Rockies this year. You know, obviously not the best record in baseball, but I think they're 500 on the last day of the series. And just kind of what the impact of maybe a long road trip, but also that kind of Colorado effect of being there for 3 days can do to a team.
I just wanted to ask you about one of your other younger outfield teammates in Pete Crow Armstrong. I know he's not producing maybe as consistently as he would like. Getting that bunt down yesterday, though, proved to be a big part of that game. Were you surprised at all that he went with the bunt there? I mean, beautiful execution on that. And have you had any conversations with him just trying to get him back to maybe closer to where he was earlier in the season?
Was I surprised by the 0-2 bunt? Yes, I was. I was not ready for that, but he's you know, the impact that he can make in a game is pretty special, and the bunt was great. You know, he got it down and obviously extended the inning, but I think the more impressive part of that was Dansby hit a double that didn't get to the wall in a really short part of the ballpark in left center at Wrigley. You know, it's the shortest left center in baseball. And Pete scored standing up. Well, I mean, he might have slid, but there was no throw. So just the impact that his legs have on a game when he's on base is pretty spectacular. And so, you know, he made a couple great plays in center field. Like he has a ton of ways to impact the game, even when he's not hitting homers. And, you know, it's a really hard thing when you're going through it a little bit, your hits aren't falling, and confidence is waning a little bit. So, you know, just he's got the ability to impact this thing in 100 different ways, and just keeping him confident and believing in himself, because we've seen it throughout the year. We've seen what he's capable of and what he can do. And he's, he's going to be a huge part of this team for the rest of, or as long as he wants to be here. And so it's in reinforcing that confidence and that belief that we have in him every day.
I believe it was a celebratory belly flop is what I would call it. The dive at home plate.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Speed kills. Ian, also this Saturday, I know you have a big event going on with the Hap Foundation charity fundraiser at a fun location at Fioretta. What do you want people to know?
Yeah, there's still some tickets available, and you can find them on my socials, on the Hap Foundation socials. This is our first kind of formal fundraiser, and we're super excited to kind of get everybody in and talk a little bit more about what the foundation's going to be doing, and the work that we're going to be doing with youth in Chicago. Been working really hard behind the scenes to get it all set up, and it's going to be this Saturday at the Fioretta rooftop. All the information can be found online, and like I said, my socials, Hap Foundation socials. But we're super excited for it. It's going to be a great night.
Yeah, you also secured one of the hottest locations in town. Nice scouting as well.
Yeah.
Ian Happ, we hope you have a great next two games of the Braves series. They tell us it is Tuesday, so I can confirm that to you. We'll figure out the rest of the days of the week as we go. Thanks, Ian.
Thanks, Ian.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a good one.
That was Ian Happ. We love talking to him. And as he mentioned, that is a hot spot. The Fioretta
the penthouse
rooftop.
Is no joke. Penthouse of Fioretta. I know. Yeah,
exactly.
I've been up in there.
But he says he doesn't go out. I know just the guy to chide him about this. Russ Dorsey joins us at noon for the hour. And in the meantime, like we mentioned tonight, the Cubs take on the Braves at Wrigley Field. Pregame coverage begins at 6:05. First pitch is at 6:40 here on The Score in the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Coming up next, you might have missed this detail that happened in college football over the weekend. Northwestern and Tulane. And the Tulane head coach had some pretty strong words for Northwestern. But we also found out some information that might make you think twice. We'll discuss it next on The Score.